Good morning. It is Tuesday, April the 21st. Joining us for another remote talk shop is Brian and a mysterious guest.
Good morning, everybody, and good morning, Blake Alexander from Crescent City. Ooh, you're further than 50 miles away, so you know what that makes you. An expert. How are you doing, Blake?
I'm fine, yeah. I'm not an expert, but I am more than 50 miles away, so.
Well, one of the cool things, and this has absolutely nothing to do with what we'll be talking about, is the fact that your family goes back to the founding in Del Norte County. You guys certainly have seen things come and they come. Yeah. What do you see with some of this goofy stuff that's going on? Are there any records that you've got going back of how the dairy industry or how your family's industries or business specifically dealt with some of these challenges over the various times?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually don't have records. I can just go off the top of my head and maybe give you a little history. So my great-grandfather was one of the founding members of Humboldt Creamery, so back 100 years ago right now in the 20s. And so certainly the reason that a co-op and a collective marketing was established was because things weren't maybe fluid and consistent and in harmony and in balance. And so they collectively, the farmers got together and started Humboldt Creamery as a co-op, 100 years ago to solve problems like this. And then we've now kind of grown into a whole new situation where we got caught off guard.
Now, when you say co-op and dairy, that kind of makes things a little bit different. How unique is that from some of the other co-op references that we'll often hear about, like at groceries and farmers markets and things of that nature?
Yeah, the concept is very similar, and the co-op from the dairy or a producer's point of view, whether it's almonds or walnuts or milk or any other product, is that we collectively work commit our products to one group that is owned by the members, the producers. And then there's a management and an organizational chart and governance that handles the day-to-day operations and basically tries to take our raw products, manufacture, market, and add value, and then pass those on into wholesale or even directly into retail.
So it's a little bit different than like wine or grape growers, where they all put it into a producer, but that producer or vintner is a specific commercial entity rather than a cooperative.
Right, it's a little different. So the part maybe I didn't say was that we share profits and losses at the end of the year collectively as the producer owners.
So as you try to put together and project and budgets and trending and all that kind of stuff that's out there, because you guys are dealing with futures prices and international markets and things of that nature, how complicated is it, or do you just kind of focus on the cows and let somebody else handle some of that side of the business?
Yeah, I wish we could let someone else handle that side of the business. And so let me just back up. About years ago, we went into real financial difficulty, and that co-op that we, as we knew it, came to an end. And after a bankruptcy, got sold, and so the Foster Farms family bought the operation, and it's now an independently owned Humboldt Creamery. It's no longer a Humboldt Creamery Association owned by the farmers. And so we still sell milk to that group. We're one of just a handful of direct shippers that sell our organic milk to the Humboldt Creamery, ultimately owned by Crystal Creamery, which is owned by Foster Farms. So we also sell through Rignano Cheese here locally in Crescent City, which buys a lot of milk out of both Humboldt and Del Norte County. And and makes wonderful cheeses and sells nationwide as well as local product.
So it's certainly has changed. Is there a place anymore for co-ops, or is it kind of going the way of the family farm?
Yes, I believe the co-ops are still alive and well, and I think there is absolutely still a place, and I've even heard a lot of talk in the last 5 years about, you know, new co-ops starting up, and certainly we've seen that within the organic dairy industry, and it's all about, you know, a handful of farmers. It could be as few as three, and it could be as many as 300 or 3,000 that decide to get together and, you know, find a new avenue to market their products. And so we always have that right and that freedom to do so, but it also comes with challenges because you've got, in the dairy industry, we've got milk that comes off the farm every day, and we can only hold it for a maximum of 3 days on the farm legally, and it's so highly perishable that, you know, it needs to get in the truck and it needs to go to further processing and get bottled or packaged and get to the consumers. And so it's hard to keep the harmony in that process. It's a fairly dynamic process in the dairy industry.
Yeah, your shelf life is about as expendable as an empty room in the hotel or as a radio ad that isn't sold.
It financially hurts at the end of the month. can tell real quick.
KINS, News and Information Time Intake, thank you.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbara Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Blake Alexander from Alexander. Well, is it Alexander Dairies or Family Farms, or what is the official title, Blake?
Yeah, right now, Alexander Family Farm is the official title, the parent company that we have branded our milk and some meat and some eggs. And so we sell under that label now.
For those of us that have a biasness towards family companies, how many of the family are employed in the company?
It's my wife Stephanie and I that started our business, and we have five children, all adults now, 21 to 29 years old, and the oldest four have all graduated from college and all work within our family business. And the youngest one is still down at Cal Poly finishing up her college career, and she would love to come home also, depending on, you know, what her decisions are in the future.
Right. So are they all Mustangs, or did anybody go to Chico State?
Yes, they are all Mustangs from Cal Poly, but we've got a couple of daughter-in-laws and a future son-in-law on board, and we've got Chico State and Davis in there, so we're diversifying.
Oh, okay. Perfect. You mentioned organic dairy farms a couple of times, and I know organic, I can remember when couple buddies of ours were starting to do that here in Humboldt County, and it was tough for a couple of reasons. It was tough to get product, it was tough to get certified, but it was also tough to find out what the working definition of organic was. Has there been any clarification in that arena?
Yeah, certainly it has. We've been at this for about 21 or 2 years ago when we decided to go organic and started finally selling milk in the year 2001. And it was quite confusing and frustrating in the beginning. And I'd say the hardest part as a dairy farmer was just kind of getting your head around all this new set of rules and tools that you were supposed to be using, and then sorting through those tools and finding, discarding the ones that didn't. So there's been a huge learning curve, I think, in both counties here with all the farmers, and we've had probably 85% of the animals and dairies convert over to organic. And it's generally been a good move. There's been a lot of good upside for, I'd say, the first 10 to 15 years were wonderful. The last five have been quite difficult. And
is it because of the cost of the end product, the market not being there as much as it was before?
Yeah, the first 15 years for us were just an absolute growing market where we saw, 10 to 20% growth annually year over year. And, when we started in this business, there were less than 30,000 total dairy cows across the country that were organic. And that number is now, somewhere maybe 300,000 to 400,000 cows are organic. So we're a much smaller player in a bigger pool now. And I believe, like everything that we do in the United States, we tend to overproduce, and we get good at it and we get efficient. I'm not saying that my farm got efficient, but I as a whole across the country, there's been a lot of movement towards organic. And so the production side has caught up with the consumption side, and the curve got quite flat for the last couple of years. And so then that, tends to drive down prices and market value of milk. So as market value has gone down, our milk checks got smaller. And then, of course, all of our costs continue to go up. And so, margin has just whittled down to almost nothing. And so it's a very stressful time leading into this current crazy stressful time.
Yeah, is the market for organic dairy product, has it been saturated, or is it one that's, I would think it would be very difficult to say that it was a mature market after 20, as quickly as 20 years, but is it time either to diversify into maybe yogurts and cheeses and other dairy product, or is the marketplace just kind of looking for cheap white liquid right now?
Yeah, excellent question, and there's a lot in there, and you are correct. We're still a young market, and so it's more being out of balance as we grew, and not maybe having the milk in the right plants being converted into the right products. And for instance, 20 years ago, there were no such things as organic cheese and a lot of yogurts and other things, even butter. I mean, it was just fluid. And so all these other products have come on board at different times. And then it's, about getting the balance right. And the balance sometimes is left to right, East Coast to West Coast. And so we've got to, kind of balance across the country, if you will. And we've got all the organic consumers on both coasts and a lot in the middle of the country. And so that also creates, discrepancies that have to be dealt with.
Yeah, your transportation costs are a little out of whack that way then, too.
Yeah.
It just makes it too much fun sometimes. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time, 8:35. We're back talking south this morning with Blake Alexander from Alexander Family Farms in Del Norte County, one of the big boys in Del Norte, so to speak. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Blake, one of the concepts that has always been very intriguing, I think, for a lot of us, because dry milk is not something that we tend to do cartwheels about and jump up and down about, and yet that is really one of the big key foundationals that Humboldt Creamery had for a long time in the Asian continent. Is there a market for, or is there such a thing called organic dried milk products?
Yes, absolutely. There are both with the butterfat in, so we would call that whole milk powder, and then skim milk powder or non-fat dry milk. In our family, have been working really hard to do very unique runs of powdered milk, working with both Humboldt Creamery and Dairy Farmers of America over in Fallon, Nevada, and trying to make milk available into some Asian markets as well as Australia and Switzerland and a few other countries that are showing a lot of interest. And so we have unique products here on the coast. We've got probably some processing deficits that we need to get over or some hurdles that we need to get through, so that we can continue to add value to our local grass-fed coastal economy.
your phrase had way too many hyphens there.
Okay, sorry.
No, but that's okay. I kind of knew where you were headed on that one.
Yeah.
Is dairy in our area? I know a lot of people say our region really is set up for being a dairy producing one, far more than where it gets too warm because of the stressors on the cows, the fact that we've got grass under the hooves instead of some of the other choices that other places have. Is there any brand recognition for North Coast dairy?
Yeah, that was kind of that little rampage I was on there a second ago. I believe that there's a lot of consumers out there willing to pay extra for what we do and what comes naturally here on the coast. And, we do have a wonderful climate, comes with a lot of rain, but it's very comfortable temperature-wise for cattle and people to work in both winter and summer. It's a little wet in the winter, especially up here in Del Norte County. It obviously works well. And that's what my family did, was try to reach out and kind of create our own brand so that we had an opportunity to test the markets to see if folks were willing to pay more to get extra. And we put extra butterfat in there. We put a protein in that is more digestible for most people, and tried to give folks the opportunity to have something more unique.
With some of the cheeses that we do have in the area, and let's... Mm-hmm. Let's put the goat cheese guys over in the corner there for a little bit.
Sure.
Rumiano, we had Lolita. There have been a number of different ones. Tillamook, I think, is one of the big boys regionally. Is there inertia for more different types of cheeses that people are looking for in either the organic or in the, I guess we call it traditional, dairy-based product?
Yes, obviously there is. Cheese companies and the little niche artisan cheese companies up and down the coast have done really well, and Rumiano recognizes that. They've created a new label this past year called Redwood Coast. They currently only have 3 flavors, but they're coming out with 3 more. They're running some specials right now here locally where they're donating $1 per package towards a community charity foundation of some sort. I'm not sure which one, but they're doing creative things like that to, I think, capture more awareness of our region and the story behind the milk that goes into all of Rumiano products or anyone else's products. And so that's an attempt also to get maybe more margin and a higher price point. And then, that's going to create a healthier Rumiano and a healthier set of dairymen that sell milk to them. And so that's
true.
Absolutely the model.
That would make sense. The transportation of the product. You know, we see a lot of the trucks going up and down, and then we see the branded trucks, you know, from the grocery stores going up and down. How much is the transportation cost a factor, or if you would feel comfortable, what percentage of the gross is allocated to getting the product onto the grocery shelf?
Yeah, it's a huge factor, especially as I've mentioned on the organic side, even the conventional side. Margins at the farm have been whittled down to not very much. And so the transportation piece of the value of our milk, which may be 10 to 20% just off the farm, and then, you know, it goes to processing, and then from processing, it's got to travel one more time. Our family is selling milk to about four different locations, and sometimes it's in Sal, Nevada. One load a week goes to Los Angeles, and then, of course, Humboldt and Rumiano. And so transportation is always involved. I believe locally as an industry, you had touched on this earlier, the powdering of milk and drying of milk at Humboldt Creamery is absolutely wonderful. We need to maybe modernize that a bit more so it would be qualified as a premium product for more uses, like infant formula, for instance. And then maybe even do some further packaging where we get consumer packaging coming right out of this county so that we've got maybe 2-pound packages of powder. There's a lot more interest in that type of food. It's definitely coming back with popular demand.
KINS, News and Information Time at 8:42. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're a couple minutes this morning with Blake Alexander from Alexander Family Farms in Crescent City. Blake, considering some of the different challenges that are out there, we've talked about distribution and about channels. I would suspect that most people look at something like a Costco or one of the big boxes and go, you know, that's where you make a lot of the money. That's when you've hit the big time. Is that necessarily the case with the manufacturer's point of view?
Yeah, from our personal experience, maybe 6-7 years ago, we started selling our eggs, my family did, into Costco. And, you know, at first it was three of their warehouses here in the Bay Area. And then, you know, the second week it was three more, and then it just grew and grew. We got up to about 20 of them. And it was the very first time Costco had what they would refer to as a pasture-raised egg. And so an egg that was really selling for $6 or $5.99 a dozen, you know, they had never sold eggs over, I don't know, somewhere in the $2 range before that. And so it was a unique product for them. It was a wonderful opportunity for our little business to have, you know, instant sales that were felt like almost unlimited because they had 40-some stores that they could put us in. And eventually it grew, and then we couldn't reach the demand anymore, and they brought in another farmer, then a third farmer, and eventually they went and got a whole group of farms that, you know, produce eggs now under the Kirkland brand that are not quite the same quality, but similar and still unique, but yet sell for $3.50 a dozen.
Yeah, and it's... I think the temptation sometimes is there, but when you have one really big customer,
yeah.
It doesn't take much to take a significant impact on the old bottom line when one guy changes his mind. Kind of the downside of that. If you were going to be talking about the future of dairy, of organic dairy, of family dairy, if 10 was perfect and one was out of biz, what do you see for the next 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, that's a very painful answer right now, or question, I guess, to hear, because, you know, I'm not 100% sure that we're going to survive through this. And it's really difficult. And you know, I believe that if we can get through this coronavirus and I guess this year, this calendar year of 2020, and get our bills paid and caught up and get our, you know, just businesses rolling forward healthy again, then, you know, the future is bright here, but it needs to come with some, you know, different thinking in the future and a little different twist on our manufacturing and, you know, really literally pushing for value-added margin stuff, because we are a small region with ultimately a small milk supply that is extremely unique, and it does demand a premium because we can't compete with the massive volumes of milk that are coming, you know, off of really large new farms that don't graze their cows like we do and don't do a lot of things that we have to do because of our location.
Well, at least there is that niche for, you know, support local and support real. And I think that's a niche you guys super serve. And we'll see what we can do to make things happen around here. Thanks for popping in and participating this morning, Blake. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I appreciate the opportunity. You all take care.
All right. See everybody tomorrow.